All right. Well, good morning and welcome to Hope Lower Town. Glad you are able to be here. If you are new to Hope or checking it out or checking out Christianity, my name is Brian, lead pastor here. And thank you, worship team. That was really encouraging. So appreciate that. As Andrew was mentioning, we are in Romans. This is week four. So we just kind of started this series. We'll be in this for a while, about a year and a half. And so we'll be in this at least through until the summer with just chapters 1 through 3 that we'll be looking at, Romans chapters 1 through 3 for quite a while here. And I want to start it off, and today we're not going to take the time to necessarily turn and meet someone around you, but I do have a question, and that is because it pertains to the text a little bit. In the sense, have you ever worked really hard at something just to be outdone by somebody who you know didn't put in the time? You know what I mean? Like they're just someone you like. I mean, I wasn't the greatest student. I'm still not, I guess. And I just feel like I wasn't a great test taker, right? I could write a paper, that was okay, but doing the test thing, regurgitating information that I know I'm going to forget as soon as I turn the test in, I just wasn't very good at that. And so it was hard though when someone was just like, "Oh, I didn't even study for it." It's like, yeah, we get it. Okay. I remember in high school, this was my senior year. This just popped in my head. There was a guy I was in class with. His name was John Funderburg. He drove a hearse. I'm not making this up, an old hearse with flames on the side of it to school. Back then, I thought, what a dork. But now I'm like, that was awesome. Anyways, we were in class, and there was a girl in the class, Jennifer Griffin. And she was the straight A student, right? I mean, she just always, and we used to do this thing. This was, you know, I guess it was the aughts, the early 2000s, where we would take a quiz or a test for English. And I remember it was a vocabulary test or I don't remember. But you had to spell it right and, you know, the grammar, everything would be right. But what we would do is we would you had to give your paper or your quiz to someone next to you and they would grade it. Well, then she would, the teacher, I forget her name, probably a good thing. She would make us go around the room and we'd have to read our scores out loud, okay? So she would say, you know, Brian Silver. And then whoever graded my paper, you know, would go 25, you know, percent, whatever it was. And I remember, and that we're going around the room in this one particular test, everyone is just bombing it. And it gets to Jennifer Griffin. She calls Miss, whatever her name was, she calls out Jennifer Griffin's name and somebody says 100, right? And John Funderburg stands up and he just goes, "What?" Like he was so mad. And my teacher just stares at him and he just like, "That's amazing." I just remember that, right? It was just hard, right? Some people are just gifted like that. I asked the question. The initial analogy I was going to use before that popped into my head was my son Henry just started playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Kind of on Nintendo style. And I've been playing video games since I was 4. My family won a Nintendo off of the McDonald's peel things way back in the 80s. And it was a brand new thing, and we couldn't have ever afford it. Thank you, McDonald's. It actually works. Some people do win that. And we got a Nintendo. And anyways, my son the other day, we start playing, and he's now actually score-wise doing better than me, and it's really frustrating me, you know what I mean? And he's like, "Oh, Dad, I got more bad guys than you did." I'm like, "Listen, you're on a controller. I'm using the keyboard, all right? Let's switch it up, and we'll see what happens." All right. What's the point of all this? Let me just, before we get into why I said all that, hopefully if I remember to connect it when something it does better than me, that's the whole point of that, we're looking at 3 weeks ago, and so I'm just going to quickly recap, right? If you've been here the last 3 weeks, great. Just going to want to recap to where we're at in Rome. We're not going to reread the whole text, but we've been looking at this image, again, from Scott Duvall's book, Grasping God's Word. The first one is grasp the text in their town. Number two is gauge the width of the river, and then cross the principalizing bridge, consult the biblical roadmap, and then grasp the text in our town. A lot of times, they're like, what in the world is all that? A lot of times what we do and what people do is we open up our Bible and we go, what does this mean to me? Right, and we start with point five. We start with the end of going, "Oh, this is what it means to me in my town." But we can't do that until we actually do our homework. And so this book of Romans that we're specifically looking at was not written to us, was not written to Hope Lower Town in St. Paul in 2023. It was written to churches in Rome in the first century, right? Now, that width of the river of culture and time and language is actually quite narrow compared to the rest of the Bible. Because we're on this side of the cross, Jesus has already died and resurrected, and now the apostles are planting churches, and specifically the church in Rome. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Paul plants this, the Apostle Paul, but he was converted. He was a devout Jew who was actually killing and persecuting Christians. And then God said, nope, I want you to be an apostle. I want to call you to send you out to plant churches. And he's called to be that apostle set apart for the gospel, the good news, the mercy and the grace and the freedom over sin that we can have in Christ. That's what he's called. And so grasping the text in their town, that's who he was. But then to all those in Rome, skipping on to Rome, Romans 1:7, that Paul says, I'm writing this to those who are in Rome. And so what's happening in Rome is this church has been planted by people, not by apostles. It's been planted by people who haven't seen miracles, who haven't witnessed the resurrected Jesus, who probably never even saw Jesus when he was alive. It was written like it was started and planted by people just like us. Right? That's a big deal, right? That's why that width of that river is actually quite narrow. So, and then last week, looked at the gospel beforehand and kind of went back and redid the intro of Romans 1:1-7. And I'm not going to again reread that, but I kind of hit this point a little bit. What's the main point of Romans? And so if you got one of those little Bibles, we have just the book of Romans, then some notes inside. I know we ran out of them, so I ordered some more. It's not here yet. Hopefully next week, if you didn't get one, you can grab one of those. But a popular question, which is a really good question. It's a really good question. Excuse me. Choked on my spit. Don't make me laugh when I'm drinking, man. Oh, okay. Sorry. This is a really good question. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? Everyone who's ever thought about religion and believes in some kind of hell or punishment has to ask themselves this question. You have to. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? But that's not the question that Paul is answering. I think he might answer that a little bit, but his main question, the one that he's really getting at, is how can a just God allow anyone in heaven? How can a holy God who is separate, who is pure, who cannot see and approach sin, who is just ineffable, unapproachable light, how could he ever allow sinful human beings in his presence? How is that possible? That's the question that Paul is getting at. That is the overarching question that we're going to kind of chunk away out week after week. And then last week just introduced this phrase, obedience of faith. And so going through, it says in verse 5, through whom, that is Christ Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. And I just tease that idea because the Apostle Paul is going to use that phrase a few times in the book, obedience of faith. What does that mean? Am I obeying to acquire faith, more faith to be in, or is it the faith that then motivates my obedience, right? Those are two very different ways of reading that. Matter of fact, I just didn't have time, but we will get into it. There's seven different ways that you can interpret that from the Greek language. And so it's a big thing, right? So we just tease that idea and we're going to unfold that more and more as the weeks go on, right? So there's still a lot of meat on that bone. Sorry if you're a vegan, right? But it's like you're at a Brazilian steakhouse. We didn't even carve into it, right? We just got a little bit of grease on our fingers and we licked our fingers, right? That's all we did. So we didn't really get into that. This week, all right, here we go. This week, Romans chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 15. Sermon is entitled, Thankful for All of You. Last week, if we had to gauge, if you could do this, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, gauge how deep or how much of a struggle or theological depth was there last week. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd maybe give it a 6.5 to 7, right? Paul is going to max that out to 11 in some chapters and some portions. We're not there yet. This week is like a 2.5 to 3, Okay. This week is not, whoa, this is blowing my mind. Because the main point that Paul is going to say is like, man, I wish I could go to Rome. Right. And again, that's what Paul is saying, right? So if we grasp the text in their town, what in the world is Paul trying to communicate to the Romans? He's communicating, he wants to go to Rome, right? That's what he's saying. That's what he means. And yet there are some things that Paul says about the church in Rome that do apply to us now and that we should apply. So let me go ahead and read these verses. I am missing page 3 of my notes. How is that possible? Oh, there it is. Go ahead and stand with me as I read this text for today. I don't know how long or how many times we'll be able to do this based on the how long some of the texts that we're going to go through. But here we are, Romans chapter 1, 8 through 15. I'll read aloud. Just feel free to follow along. The Apostle Paul says this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may know at last succeed in coming to you. I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Thank you. You may be seated. This first point, again, we've just kind of been walking through these verses. The outline is quite simply looking at the text and the words that Paul has written to the church in Rome. Again, not to us, but for us. Starts off in now verse 8. First, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for all of you, right? So again, he says that word first. It's not the first word or the first thing he says, but verses 1 through 7 are just kind of that introduction. Hey, this is who we are. This is who I am. Now I'm going to talk about you, Rome, the church in Rome. And he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith. And again, this isn't the Apostle Paul saying, thank you, First Baptist Church, to allow Lower Town to be part of this community. That's not what's happening here. This is, but at the same time, even though I'm not an apostle and I'm not Paul, from me to all of you, I'm thankful for you, all of you. And whether this is your first time in this building, I'm telling you, and I'm going to get into this, there's something about even just seeing people, meeting people, that is so encouraging to see people that I care for, that I pray for on a weekly basis over and over. And I am thankful for all of you, all of you, right? We can have our disagreements. We can have our squabbles, whatever we want to call it. I am so thankful. It makes my heart glad to see you. There was a story that was, there was a story told about there was a pastor who was sharing a story about a gentleman that when he would see him in the hallways, he would duck into a different classroom because he wanted to avoid that individual. I don't feel that way about anybody, okay? Some of you know who that individual was. I know that, so I won't get into that. But most of you have been here for over 3 years, right? So we just took a survey recently, and this was one of the results. It's because of our church is young, right? We are only 5.5 years old. We can't even say we've been here for over 6 years, right? We're a young church. And yet most of you, is that everyone who took that survey that we participated in, have been here for over 3 years. And there's a lot that were 1 to 3, and there was several who were less than 6 months. There were several that were visitors at the time that we did this. That's really important to me, right? And if we think about relationships that we've had, true relationships take time. Right? Think of some of your best friends, your childhood friends. I just met someone, right, who knew Micah. They went to kindergarten together. Those are friendship. That takes time, right? If you think about, if some of us went to college and you had roommates, and there's something about being in a room all the time with somebody that, yeah, you start to become friends. I know I had a few of them in my wedding whom I haven't talked to since my wedding day, right? That it's because it was not a real friendship. No, I'm kidding. It was. It is. Right? But it lacked depth. Right? Why? Because it takes longer than 3 years, even though for me it was 5 years, but it doesn't matter. It takes time. And if we think and we put it in our context of a Sunday morning gathering, even if you've been here for 5 years, that means we've only seen each other, if we only see each other on Sunday morning, 250 times over 5 years. That's if we come to church every single week. And usually it's me telling you things and I don't get to hear from you, right? That's not a relationship. This takes time. And so if you think, oh man, I've been coming to this church for 6 months and I joined a small group, but I just don't have this thing that I used to have at my old church or my family when I grew up or whatever. Yeah, that checks out actually. It should take longer than that. It takes time and commitment. So again, just on that note, let's just continue to get to know one another better. Let's continue that. Let's continue to be faithful to Christ and the church, but continue to be faithful to one another as we continue down this path of being a church together. So how can we do this? What are some practical ways that we can do this? The first one is just spending time together, right? I mentioned this and sometimes I forget, but this communication card is a great way. Fill it out and the back is left blank on purpose. So you can fill out some prayer requests and those come in and we pray for you. Please do that. You can always email prayers@lowertown or prayersLT, and you can submit a prayer request and the prayer team will get that and they'll pray for you. That obviously wouldn't be anonymous. Small groups. Small groups are a great way to get to know people. Small groups, we have a time of community where you get there a little bit early and you just hang out. How's your week? What's going on? Wow, that's fantastic. Hey, I'm going to follow up with that job interview you had. What's going on there? And then we get into a Bible study. And then we have a time where the men and the women split up and they have accountability. And that's where relationships happen. Relationships happen when I can expose myself and the things that I'm dealing with. It doesn't have to be all the skeletons in my closet. I think there's a time for that. But a lot of times it's just like, man, I am really pissed off at my kids right now, right? And I need prayer over that. And I need accountability. I need friends to help me with that. We have Film Fest coming up just in March. March 4th, I think, is the date where they're going to be showing this. If you don't know what Film Fest is, you can just Google on YouTube, Hope Film Fest. You're probably going to get the cream of the crop, so don't be like, oh, I could never do that, because you can't. I can't. It's just something dumb, but it's a way to get together, right? I told the powers that be that are in charge of the Film Fest, there's usually about, I don't know, last year, I think we had 18 to 20 films that we put together. Lower Town, we only had one. This year, I said, we can do two, okay? So my group's going to do one. We just need one other group to say, yeah, we'll do a film. It's a great way to build community. Just goof off, be dumb together, and get to know each other. Now, we have classes that we offer that are really, really great, and we want to start doing more of those here at Lower Town. We do a lot of things at downtown Minneapolis that they host. I know I teach a systematic theology class. Paul and I have been teaching that for, I don't know, 5-6 years now. We're trying to condense that, make it a little bit more accessible. And the classes, I think, especially the ones in the evening are maybe a little bit more easily accessible for those who are single or don't have little kids at home. And I understand that, but we're trying to figure out how we can do that and make it accessible for everybody. And then we have the app. Nolan Bauer on staff here, he has really developed a great app. And that on the app, I mentioned this last week, I really want to start using that app to start communicating more with each other. And so if you go to hopecc.com or you just go to the whatever it is, the app store, there's a lot of Hope Community Churches out there. So if you do Hope Community Church, Twin Cities, it'll be the first one that pops up. And in the app, there's a thing for messaging. And then in there, you can request to join groups and you can join the Lower Town lobby and you can join a men's group or a women's group. And already, I know the men's group, there's not many of us in there, but people have been saying, hey, let's get prayer breakfast going again. Hey, I want to do a whiskey tasting or whatever it may be. That's great. Let's do that. Right? Let's talk to one another. Let others know what you're doing and let's just get together. We have the weekly email. I didn't put that up there, but the weekly email is a great way just to know what's going on. Again, the Millers just had their little boy Asher. And so I know that there's still a couple slots to be filled out to be able to bring them some food and some meals. It's just a way to get to know each other, a way to encourage one another, as we'll see. Another point, how can we do this, is show up for Sunday gatherings, right? And this is not self-serving. Okay, as far as Sunday gatherings, this is not, right, I'm not taking a census. I'm not going to tax you based on how many times you show up. I don't know your income. I hardly remember what I do for work, let alone what you do for work and how much money. I don't know any of that stuff. I don't want to know that stuff. But to see somebody and to be seen, right, we don't get any bonus points for showing up on Sunday with God. It doesn't work that way, right? Church is spiritual, but at the same time, it is mutual encouragement. It is highly relational to be here on Sunday, which I'll explain. Why? Because you have no idea. You have no idea who needed to be seen by you this morning. You have no idea. You have no idea how thankful I am to see you this morning. The Sunday gathering, this space, this time is very important, sure. But I want to make this a priority. I want you to make this a priority. Why? And I'm telling you, the number one reason, the priority, isn't necessarily just the teaching and the sitting under of God's word. It is extremely important. It is extremely valuable. But so much stinking more than this, right? It's so much more than that, right? Why are you here? Right? You drove or you walked in the cold, came into an old building with really gross bathrooms. Why? To hear me preach? That doesn't make any sense, right? You can Google sermons online and you're going to find far better communicators of God's word to preach through the book of Romans. Now, this is why I gave those illustrations of, man, I can work really hard at this and all you have to do is boop, 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 Romans better, right? And that's just true. Right, that's not an insult. This is not false humility. It's just truth. For example, I found this doing a quick search. Looking at this, sermons, Romans 1, 8 through 15, the exact same text. The main message from this passage is the power of the gospel to save all people, regardless of their background, education, or wisdom. Paul emphasizes the importance of spreading the good news of salvation to all people and encourages Christians to share the gospel with others. In conclusions, Romans 1, 8 through 15, teaches us the importance of sharing the gospel with others and the power of that gospel to save people from their sins. As Christians, we have the responsibility to be debtors to all people, to share the good news of salvation with everyone, and to proclaim the gospel with boldness and confidence, relying on the power of God and bringing salvation to those who believe. Who said that? A robot, okay? I went to ChatGPT and I searched sermon on Romans 1, 8 through 15. A stinking computer did that. And that is, like, that's good. I agree, right? That will preach. It did preach, literally. Right? We gather here on Sunday mornings because there's so much more. It's to be seen and to see. It's to be heard and to hear. So we show up for Sunday gatherings and we sit under the teaching of God's word. Yes, we worship. We lift up our hearts and our minds. We engage in the songs and we worship the name of God together. We celebrate the Lord's table every single week. We get to partake of that meal together, seeing and being seen by one another, hearing and being heard by one another. And that is my heart, right? This is me, not a robot. I get to do that, right? I get to pray for you. I don't think robots can pray. Maybe they can write a prayer. I don't know. Not yet, at least, not that we know of. Till they become self-conscious. I don't know, maybe they get a soul. I don't know how that works. All right, let's get back to the text. In all the world. What does Paul mean by this? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Are we supposed to take this literally? Is it actually true that the gospel was preached through the churches in Rome and that all of the world heard what was going on in Rome? I don't think that Paul here is meaning all of the world, that every single human being has heard that, but I do think that through the diaspora of the spreading of the Jews and the community, the Jewish Christians all throughout the world, the known world, and speaking Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, that gospel would have spread. That's why we see these churches that was probably started in Rome by Jews, but then they were kicked out by Claudius, and that's what's going on. And then maybe sometimes we might read this and go, oh man, this is our church, right? I could maybe rally us troops, and we could maybe try to make a cool TikTok channel, and we could be influencers for the name of Jesus in all the world, right? I know that the new thing now is not influencer. It's like de-influencer or a dis-influencer, meaning like instead of like, hey, I went to this restaurant. This is how good it is. This is a product you need to try. It's like, hey, I went to Disney, got the fast track pass. Don't do it, right? And they get popular on de-influencing people. That's a thing now. Just being negative all the time. Again, this is a self-effacing nature of that local church, and I hope that's also true of us. Again, self-effacing, it's not about us. It's not about bringing attention to us. Hey, look how great we are. Look how cool we are. Look how fancy we are. We want people to see Jesus. We want to cut down as many distractions as we possibly can to show people the gospel of Jesus. It's not about bringing attention to themselves. And I think we do this, we're not flashy. I often say that as long as we stay above the cringe factor, if anyone goes below the cringe factor, it's me. Whether that's through our hymn sings when I'm leading, or whether it's just something stupid I say, right? That's a cringe thing that happens quite often, but we try to stay above that. We talk about how we're a duct tape church. We're not going to pour all of our money into fancy things, that we want to just proclaim the gospel at a bottom dollar. We often say that if you don't like organized religion, you're going to love us, right? We say that we don't have the corner on anything except Wakuda and Ninth. Right? We're not perfect. We are not perfect. None of us are perfect. But one day we will be made perfect by the perfect one. And I hope that getting to know one another, getting to know the people of this church, that you will get to know a perfect Savior. And this is further seen then in this text. So going back, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. And then skipping down to verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Right, what is this gift of the Spirit? And this is kind of an interesting phraseology. If you look at Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and yet here we have spiritual gifts. In the Greek, it's actually the same. All right, but this isn't a gift that we're gonna give each other. This is something that was a mutual exchange of something, and it's the spiritual gift. What is this spiritual side, right? Because this isn't just a mutual edification that he's gonna talk about. There is something spiritual about it. And that's why he uses that language there, spiritual gift, to strengthen you. And what is it? That is that we may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith, each other's faith, both yours and mine. And again, while I'm not the apostle, and even though he was encouraged by the church in Rome, I too am encouraged by all of you, that I need to see your faith and be encouraged by it. And I briefly want to go through seasons of encouragement that I've had since I've been a pastor here. I was encouraged, and like I mentioned, even through that survey of thinking about people who have been here from the beginning, not that somebody who came in later, you're less than, not at all. That's just a season of encouragement. I think back to when Will and Coley had their accident and died, the encouragement that I got. I'm trying not to name names, and some of you may know, yeah, okay, great. And if you're like, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm telling you, my heart is gladdened by all of you here. Think about just all of the pandemic, right? The encouragement that was received and the tensions over policies or politics, but just seeing your faces that we have made it through that is incredibly encouraging. I think back to when we were doing trivia online on Zoom and how encouraging it was to see faces, even though I think some of you cheated, but I was still encouraged. Think of my small group, the friends and relationship that I've been able to gain through that. I think specifically of, I think it was on my birthday, that Paul, one of our elders here, and Josh brought a giant T-bone steak to me with a letter of encouragement that I can't even think about without getting emotional. So I'm going to move on. I think about my kids when they were born, how encouraging that we get to do that with the Stivers, with the Millers, with people who have just had babies and others who are still expecting. I wasn't going to name names, but I'm thankful for Zach and Andrew. Stop it. Huh. John Hess, this guy, I think he comes to church more often than I do, and that's not an exaggeration. That's very encouraging. Very talented, and be able to use his talents to play in a, just a small worship team every Sunday is incredibly encouraging. I think of Caitlin Balfour. She, okay, at this time, on that note of looking of, yes, encouragement, but whew, future encouragement, this is stupid. Sorry, man, you're like, if you're visiting, this is actually pretty normal. So just like, what is going on? At this time, let me just say this. I know that a lot of you know that a while back, Josh Duramola, that they had left the church. Again, nothing crazy. It wasn't anything evil, anything like that. There's no cover-ups, no scandals, anything like that. It was just time for them to move on. But at Hope, we believe in something called a plurality of elders. Meaning this is not a one-man show, that I'm not up here calling the shots. It may feel like that, and I think especially it may feel like that, right? I think sometimes it may be that, but it shouldn't be. And so we desire a plurality of eldership. And so Paul and I are right now are the team, and knowing that Paul and Allison are the plan is that they're going to plant a church in a couple years, and so that's a good thing. But I need help and I need encouragement. And so Ben Jones, Paul and I are going to be recommending him for an elder in training position. It's not a paid position; it's what's called a lay eldership. That he's going to keep doing his thing. And yet he's just going to be along for the ride to encourage, to give spiritual guidance that elders do in the role that we function as at this church. And so he is starting that process. We use the language that we're entering a dating relationship. He can break up with me at any time. I can break up with him at any time. And hopefully we can still be friends, right? Relationships are messy. And if that were to happen, I know it can be difficult and awkward. But the goal right now is that he would, over the next 7-8 months, whatever happens, that he would then become an elder, hopefully be voted in by you, at the annual meeting, which is usually in August. And so that's kind of the goal, but we're not rushing anything. We're not trying to do this. And so he has already been meeting with Paul and I. We've been meeting quite regularly. By regularly, I mean like twice. We have been meeting, that his name has gone through staff, all of the elders of Hope Community Church, female staff as well, and just saying, hey, what do you know about this guy? And he's been checked out. Hey, green light, that's great. And it's a process, right? So we're going to work through the statement of faith and make sure that theologically that we're aligned, and that's going to take some time. And so I'm going to have Ben and Emily coming up. I just want to pray for them as I think about encouragement. I don't want to think about it because I want to get emotional. I'm so thankful for this man. I'm thankful for his friendship. They've been here the whole time. They were at Hope downtown before we started here. And the fact that they came with has just been a huge encouragement to me. And so I just want to pray for them, and then we'll keep going with the sermon here. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. Every time I think of the Joneses, I thank you for them. Thank you for the encouragement that they've meant to me and my wife and for all of the church body, that I don't think his name being presented as potential elder is a shock to anyone. And that's really encouraging to me, and I hope it's encouraging to them. And so I just pray that you would be with them through this process, that they would, I know, take this seriously, that you would protect them from any kind of spiritual attack or attack of the devil in their life, spiritually, physically, mentally, that you would just oversee them and care for them as they take on this weighty, heavy aspect of a spiritual nature of leading a church. And so thank you for my brother and my friend, and I pray that you would just be with them. We love them and thank you for them. It's a Christ thing that we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. All right. I can't see my notes. Hang on. Okay, this word, though, encouragement. Where is it? Verse 12. That is that we may be mutually encouraged. Okay, so what we're going to strengthen is a spiritual strengthening. That is, what is it, Paul? What is this? How do we spiritually strengthen each other? That is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Right? That this is a mutual encouragement. This goes both ways, the encouragement. But that word encouraged can be and is translated differently in other passages. It can also be translated strengthen, right? Support, which is really important because I think that this word encompasses not just encouragement, which is really good. It's more than that. In this steadfastness, this standing firm, holding on to one another, or strengthening. It's the same language, if you remember, we went through the book of Hebrews, of hold fast, right? That sailor in a storm holding on to a rope, of holding fast. That's what it is, that we do this together. We're linked arm and armed, and by that, then we're fighting sin with one another. Right, we're standing firm, we're steadfast, we're strengthening, we're holding each other up, we're propping each other up to fight sin, to fight those waves of temptation and sin and the devil that may come against us. We fight that sin. And I'm telling you, we cannot do that appropriately without getting to know each other. We just can't. Right? We don't have a confessional booth where you can just come forward and say, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Father, absolve me of my guilt. I can't do that. We have to get to know each other. We have to share our lives with one another. We have to live with one another and pray for each other. And only Christ Jesus can forgive us of our sins. Continuing the text, the Apostle Paul uses this language that he has prayed without ceasing. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you." Right, and this is not, I don't think, I could be wrong. I don't think this is like Brian, you should feel really guilty because you don't pray without ceasing for everyone in your church, right? I pray for you, but without ceasing, what does that mean? I think Paul means that when he mentions these people in his prayers, that he's saying that I may succeed in coming to you, right? And I do think he means that. What every time I mention you, I mention without ceasing, without forgetting that I want to go to Rome. And I can say that when I pray for you, whether looking at the weekly email and going through the list of people who have signed up for that, that I pray for you by name, and I mean it. I'm able to pray for you. So in that, though, let's consult the biblical roadmap, right? We go back to that Scott Duvall picture there. There are other passages of Scripture that can beef up what we have been talking about. So he says, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So Paul has not yet been able to get to Rome. Even though he's traveled all over the area, he's never been able to get to Rome. And so we can see this in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. There's other passages that we could look at, but this is one that particularly pertains to this. It says, and they were through the region. This is Paul specifically and some followers of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, or Asia Minor, kind of where Greece is. And they had come up through Mysia, and they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen this vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, so again, maps, boring, but I think this is just helpful, right? So you've got Jerusalem, right? You've got Jerusalem, and then he goes up and he has this path, and you've got Asia Minor here, and then he decides to go up to Bithynia up here, and God's like, nope, not there. He goes to Troas, nope, not there. You need to cross over here. You need to get over into Macedonia. You have this vision. So what's often called the Macedonian call. And so he gets over there and he's planted tons of churches on his way that he's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has died for their sins, that he's risen from the dead, right? This is a powerful gospel. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Jesus already did it on the cross. He said, it's finished, right? When you finish a race, right? You don't go, hey, let me keep running to add to my time. Why? It's finished. You can't do anything else, right? And God says, Paul, I want you to go across the sea and I want you to go into Macedonia and preach the gospel. And yet for reasons, because he knows the people in Rome, his heart is saying, get to Rome. It's really powerful. And he then continues that, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. He has been prevented by the calling of Christ in his life to preach the gospel in other places and to plant churches like Corinth and Philippi. It says, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well among the rest of the Gentiles. Again, Gentiles just means all ethne, all people groups. And it says this in conclusion, I am under no obligation. Excuse me, that's not true. I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. And so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. You can hear his heart for the Romans. He wants to get there, but he's saying, I've wanted to come, but I can't because I'm busy planting churches at other places. But you already have churches that have been planted and churches that established. So let me write you this letter. It's going to be some intense theology. So let me conclude here with a quote from R.C. Sproul. He says this, what a strange statement to make. I am bound or I am a debtor. What does he owe the Greeks? What does Paul owe the non-Greeks? What does he owe to the wise? What does he owe to the foolish? Surely the obligation was on their side to show honor and obedience to Paul. Surely they should be rushing across the plains of Asia Minor to sign up for courses in the school of the Apostle Paul. Paul understood that he was an apostle simply by the grace of God, and that it was an unspeakable privilege for him to have that office. He realized that once Christ had commissioned him to carry the gospel throughout the world to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, to the wise and to the foolish, to the lettered and the unlettered. I think that means like lettering in basketball in high school. No, I'm kidding. It means educated or uneducated. To the great and the small, he was under obligation to fulfill his calling. Love of Christ constrained him to carry out his commission. Again, going back to that obedience of faith, this is a glad submission of the human heart that the Apostle Paul has to preach the gospel. You might have thought that was R.C. Sproul, but it was really, no, I'm kidding. It wasn't GTP. But I do want to go back to this robot because it actually is really good. Right? We have the responsibility to be debtors to all people, to share the good news of salvation with everyone. And I just want to think about that word, everyone, that everyone does not mean all people, all ethnicities, all people who are outside of these walls. Everyone, I think, what the robot is trying to get us conscious humans to do is to care for one another as well. Everyone doesn't just mean other people. It means us as well, right? Even each other. And so in gospel application, let's encourage one another. Let's fight sin and stand fast with one another. And let's share the gospel with one another. And I think we could take this to the bank that usually, because this isn't just encouragement in relationship, it's a spiritual relationship. It's a spiritual encouragement. And so if our goal is just encouragement, we're probably not hardly ever going to get encouragement. If our goal is let's just stand firm together and fight sin together, most likely we're going to enter into legalism and judgment and guilt and shame, and we're probably not going to really fight sin. But if we share the gospel with one another, then we will almost always get encouragement and relationship and fighting sin and standing firm with one another. We're going to enter into a time of communion. Like I mentioned earlier, we do this every week. And it never gets old to take these elements, to look at these elements, the juice that represents the blood of Christ that was poured out for us, the wafer that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. That we take these elements in remembrance of him, in what he did and accomplished. And again, it's did, it's done, it's finished. We get to remember him now as we partake of these elements. We get to look around, we get to see each other partake of this meal together. So the worship team is going to come back up. They're going to play two songs. And as they're playing, as they're singing, feel free to come forward and grab these elements and be seated. And you can pray, confess, rejoice, thank God, whatever it may be. And thank God for one another. Thank God for his church. And all I would ask is that you're a member, you don't have to be a member of this church or any church. It's called something we practice called open communion. All we'd ask that you're a follower of Jesus. If you say, yes, I've bent the knee to King Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to share the good news, the gospel with everyone. We would love for you to partake of these elements with us this morning. Let me pray as the worship team makes their way up here as we partake of these elements. Heavenly Father, I think it was evident today that I personally have been encouraged by so many people in this church. Even those people who I've never even met or people who might be here for the first time, just again, seeing them and being seen, being heard is so important. That's part of the human condition, is to be known, that isolation, solitude is death to humans. And so God, would we encourage one another? Would we stand firm with another and do that through sharing the good news, the gospel? Knowing that I am set free from guilt and shame, that my sin is as far as the east is from the west because Christ has removed that from me. Would we encourage one another with that when we are struggling, when we are tempted, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, to encourage one another and strengthen one another in our faith and in their faith. So I pray as we partake of these elements, that you would be honored, you'd be glorified, that we would be self-effacing, that it wouldn't be about us, it wouldn't be about me, it wouldn't be about the worship team, it would all be about you and your son and your spirit, who is continually going to be at work here in Lower Town and at Hope Lower Town. We love you and thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.